This gospel text is remarkably apt for today when the Pope is visiting this country and celebrating this Mass, and he's going to preach to the whole country, mostly to the Catholics and the Christians, to this country today. That's going to be his, it's not just going to be to Washington that he's talking. And he knows that what he says will be broadcast, will be put in the newspapers. So it's very important, and it's part of his service. And so we have this text here where Jesus has just washed the disciples' feet, and he says, no slave is greater than his master, nor any messenger greater than the one who sent him. And those are the two marks of an apostle. A doulos, a slave. Paul, all the time when he starts his letters, Paul, an apostle, you know, a slave of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. And then apostle means messenger, somebody sent. So he's talking about apostles here. And it's amazing, you know, we say so lightly, he's the successor of the apostles. Think of that. For over two millennia, there has been somebody selected by Jesus Christ, and for those who are faithful, indwelt by Jesus Christ, to guide the church. It's an amazing thing, you know. When John Paul II just said, you know, the church does not have the right to ordain women. The church has not been given that right. For the theologians with faith, that's it. The reasons, I don't know if this reason really holds water, whether this one, you know, you can go on theologically and historically and so forth. But that doesn't make any difference. You see, when we're doing our theology, we're taught what is infallible in an infallible statement is the statement, not the process by which it's arrived at. It's so hard for us to grasp. There is a very fine woman, a very fine theologian, Sarah Butler, who's just written a book. She's been involved in this issue for a long, long time. Actually, she used to think that women should be priests, and then she studied it a lot more, and had the courage to come up and say, I've changed my mind. And the periodical that had been printing all her articles had the nobility to print her retraction too, which is to their credit as well. But the answer, see, the Pope has spoken. Not like, you know, I think the Yankees will win, but in a solemn way, taking all the authority that Jesus Christ has given him and said this. This is remarkable. That you know, the Son of God is working through the successor to Peter to teach and guide and protect the church, sometimes infallibly, sometimes going against the current. Huh? When Paul VI called his commission to study various forms of contraception and birth control, and most of that commission thought there should be a way to have this done. And he went away and prayed and fasted, came back and said, no. Do you realize where we would be today if he'd said yes? There'd be no Catholic Church. Just be one more happy bunch of guys walking around wondering who Jesus is. And sexually irresponsible. And so, you see, and if you understand this, blessed are you if you do it. I'm not speaking of all of you. One of you is going to betray me. I'm telling you now before it happens, not only my betrayal, but my whole passion and crucifixion. I'm telling you now this before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will realize, I am. This is not out of my control. I am willingly giving up my life in this very painful way, in an act of love, to save the world. I'm willingly doing it, even though my nature cringes at it. Huh? Look at the agony in the garden. And so finally he says, amen, amen, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. And so you see, and in John, one of the ways of expressing faith is to speak of receiving. As many as received him, he gave power to be with them. Many who believed in him received who he is in our heart. And now he says, if you receive the one I sent, you receive me. So you see, it's an act of faith. Joseph Ratzinger is a very nice guy, and he's a very smart fellow. And he's been a good theologian all his life. But now, he's the successor of Peter. And Jesus sent him over here. And those who receive him receive Jesus. And therefore receive the Father. Now, you know, the hoopla is good. I mean, people got to start and think about the Pope. We should pray today for the Protestants. You know, one of their big problems is the Pope and structure and organization. That they find that difficult. We should pray today, because here is a man who has an ecumenical heart. I have a couple of friends, Lutherans, theologians. They did all their studies in Germany, as many Lutherans do. And for years, when he was head of the CDF, they would go over there once or twice a year, and they would spend hours talking together. And their love for him and their admiration of him. And those are the kind of people who are preparing unity among their own for the day when there will be unity. And they are an enormous force for unity. As a good friend of mine, you know him, a bishop now, Philip Jones. And he's a bishop in the Anglican outreach from Africa that's here now. And when he finally decided to accept that, he knew that was it. He would never become a Catholic. He's going to stay Anglican. And we agreed on the phone. We are pledged to be deep friends with one another and to be working for unity. And so that's the way you do it, right? So today we have the Pope coming and celebrating this liturgy for 47,000 people who are there, and how many millions more watching it on TV. And now you see that TV can be worth something once in a while. But you also see this frail 80-year-old man who represents the successor of Peter, about whom it is said, whoever receives that one, because I sent him, receives me. Now it takes an alive faith to keep alive at that dimension. What's he going to say? Who's he talking to there? What's he got this? What's his agenda when he's saying this? It's all there. I mean, these people are not dumb. But that's secondary. This, you know, Jesus Christ will act through this man today. And that takes faith. It takes faith on his part, too. I mean, you get up this morning and say, you know, I'm going to be talking to I don't know how many million people. And what I say, Jesus Christ is going to back up. So I better make sure I'm getting this straight. I told you, I think, once how a friend of mine had a vision of this person in hell who was still trying to destroy the church. Was trying to destroy it on earth, and now that he refused salvation even at that last minute, he's still trying to destroy the church. And she began to pray for the Pope, Benedict. And Jesus said to her, You don't have to worry about him. He is obedient. So you don't have to worry about him. He obeys me and I protect him. So he's a good example. And it's interesting for those of us in the theological community or whatever we are. See, most of us know him. Because he moved around like a theologian. Went to meetings, had papers, you know. Then he got to be head of the CDF, but he still was a theologian. So, and all of a sudden, one of us is a pope. And that changes everything. So we should pray today. Can you imagine? There will be thousands of people, because he's a holy man. You know, when somebody asked a friend of mine who works in the CDF, he's the head, then assistant, and he's another second assistant. Been there now for years. And he worked with Ratzinger for years over there. And somebody said to him when he was elected pope, well, what would you say he's like? And Augustine answered, I'd say he's very recollected. He's always recollected. That was his assessment. In other words, he's always striving to be in the presence of God. That's key. So I'm saying Mass, of course, for him and for the whole church here in the United States today. I don't know what he's going to say, but I know that his plan is to address the whole church in America. And when he... I don't know what he's going to say from New York, but I know that's what he wants to say from here. So let's pray for that.